Welcome to worship in First Doma this morning. I want to draw your attention to just a few notices. First of all, to thank all those who came along and supported our treasure hunt and barbecue on Friday night. It was a great evening, and special thanks to Peter and Margaret Cummings for setting up the treasure hunt and to the fellowship subcommittee for preparing and serving a lovely barbecue. We raised around £400 for the Mbangweni mission trip. A date for your diary is the praise and commissioning service on Sunday evening, the 23rd of June at 7 o'clock, so put that in your diaries. Also, in 2 weeks' time, we will be hosting the RUC George Cross annual service on Sunday afternoon, the 2nd of June. Unfortunately, this is a ticket-only service due to the large number of those attending from the various George Cross associations across the province. The service will be relayed up to the lecture hall, but again, that is ticketed only for an overflow for invited guests. I have a small number of tickets available, so if you have a connection with the RUC George Cross and you're not helping Ivy out in the kitchen, you can speak to me and it'll be on a first-come, first-served basis. We come before God now as we sing our opening hymn, Hymn 227, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Children in the congregation would like to come to the front. I have something I'd like to share with you before you go out to children's church. Are you coming down, Henry? You're not? Not going to come this morning? All right. No worries. You're all on your own this morning. That's not a problem. We're just thinking about many things in which we can thank God for. We can thank God for our families and for our friends. And we thank God for Jesus and for his death on the cross at Calvary and for the new life that he gives to all who trust in him, a life that lasts forever. So we're going to sing the children's hymn, which is hymn 423, and then Henry will be pleased to know it's time for you to go out to children's church. Let's worship God together. I wanted our service to start with an attitude of worship before I made a sad announcement, which I'm sure many, or not all of you, are aware that one of our elders, Harry Alexander, passed away yesterday as a result of a tragic accident on his motorbike in the Gorton Glens. We extend our sympathies to his wife Diana and to his daughters Helen and Joan. It's obviously too soon yet to announce the funeral arrangements, but I know that you will uphold the family in your prayers, and remembering also his brother Billy and the wider Alexander family. I was wondering what we should do this morning, whether we should just meet, make the announcements, say a short prayer, and go home. But Harry wouldn't have liked that, because he was a man who observed Sunday worship every Sunday. He may not always have been here in First Omagh, as he was often in Dunfanaghy, but he always gathered together with God's people to worship the Lord and his Saviour on the Sabbath day. And he would want us to do the same today. And so we are going to have our service this morning. It will be short. My sermon will be just a little bit of a reflection. And then there'll be an opportunity for us to have a time of quiet prayer and reflection before we bring the service to a close. So I'm going to read another Old Testament scripture reading this morning, and that's from 1 Corinthians chapter 17, and that's at page 352 of the Bibles in the pews. It's the story of Elijah and the drought, and Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. I'm going to read the whole chapter because it does indeed give us hope, and it sheds light in the midst of this dark morning. A prophet named Elijah from Tishbe in Gilead said to King Ahab, "In the name of the Lord, the living God of Israel, whom I serve, I tell you that there will be no dew or rain for the next 2 or 3 years until I say so." Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Leave this place and go east and hide yourself near the brook of Cherith, east of the Jordan. The brook will supply you with water to drink, and I have commanded ravens to bring you food there." Elijah obeyed the Lord's command and went and stayed by the brook of Cherith. He drank water from the brook, and ravens brought him bread and meat every morning and every evening. After a while, the brook dried up because of the lack of rain. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Now go to the town of Zarephath near Zidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow who lives there to feed you." So Elijah went to Zarephath, and as he came to the gate of the town, he saw a widow gathering firewood. "Please bring me a drink of water," he said to her. And as she was going to get it, he called out, "And please bring me some bread too." She answered, "By the living Lord your God, I swear that I haven't got any bread. All I have is a handful of flour in a bowl and a drop of olive oil in a jar. I came here to gather some firewood to take back home and prepare what little I have for my son and me. That will be our last meal, and then we will starve to death." "Don't worry," Elijah said to her, "go ahead and prepare your meal. But first make a small loaf from what you have and bring it to me, and then prepare the rest for you and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the bowl will not run out of flour, or the jar run out of oil, before the day that I, the Lord, send rain." The widow went and did as Elijah had told her, and all of them had enough food for many days. As the Lord had promised through Elijah, the bowl did not run out of flour, nor did the jar run out of oil. Sometime later, the widow's son fell ill. He got worse and worse, and finally he died. She said to Elijah, "Man of God, why did you do this to me? Did you come here to remind God of my sins and so cause my son's death?" "Give the boy to me," Elijah said. He took the boy from her arms, carried her upstairs to the room where he was staying, and laid him on the bed. Then he prayed aloud, "O Lord my God, why have you done such a terrible thing to this widow? She has been kind enough to take care of me, and now you kill her son." Then Elijah stretched himself on the boy 3 times and prayed, "O Lord, my God, restore this child to life." The Lord answered Elijah's prayer. The child started breathing again and revived. Elijah took the boy back downstairs to his mother and said to her, "Look, your son is alive." She answered, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the Lord really speaks through you." Amen. And we thank God for his word to us. Before I share a short reflection on that passage, we will sing our next hymn, which is "Speak, O Lord."
Take your truth, please.
They say that the darkest hour comes before the dawn. And the prophet Elijah knew this to be true from his own experience. In chapter 17 that we have just read, there were three little stories, three little insights into a very darkening time in Elijah's life. First of all, there was a famine in the land. Then he went to a foreign country. And then the widow with whom he was staying, her son died. And so we see progressively how this story of Elijah gets darker and darker as the chapter goes through. And yet also what we see in the midst of this story is how the Lord is working in Elijah's life and preparing him for the situation and the circumstance that he will face. First of all, he's tired and he's told to go to the brook at Cherith, where the Lord will provide for him because there's a famine in the land. And so he goes to that brook, and as the Lord promised, he was provided with food and refreshment in the middle of a famine and drought in the land. So the Lord told him what he was going to do, and Elijah obeyed, and the Lord fulfilled his promise. Then the brook dried up because there was no rain, and so the Lord told Elijah to go to Zarephath in Sidon. And Zarephath in Sidon is the place where Queen Jezebel comes from. It's her home place. And Queen Jezebel was the enemy of God's people. She was married to King Ahab of Israel, but she was wanting people to turn away from the true God and to worship her gods. And she was out for all the prophets of the one true God. And so here was Elijah sent right in to the enemy's den. But again, God promised to Elijah that he would provide for him, that he would meet a widow who would provide bread for him. And just as the Lord promised, that is what indeed happened. So you think that that's the end, and the end of a happy story where the Lord has provided. But the biggest challenge for Elijah's faith was yet to come. And that was when that woman's son died. And here we see Elijah distraught that such a calamity had happened to this woman who didn't deserve it. All she had done was to seek to help him in his time of need. And now her son had died. And Elijah turned to the Lord in prayer. And he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, why have you done such a terrible thing to this widow? She has been kind enough to care for me, and now you kill her son." Elijah was not afraid to bring his sorrow and his anger at what he saw as an injustice before the one true God. And Harry was a great man of prayer, and he was always at the prayer meeting, whether it be the elders' prayer meeting or the congregational prayer meeting, leading the Bible study and leading people in prayer. He was a man who thought deeply about things and the things of faith. He was a man who wrestled with God over some of the things that happen in this world, the injustices that he saw, the inconsistencies that he witnessed in the church and in the world. And he was not afraid to acknowledge these and to explore them and to try to understand more about the God whom he loved and he served. And like Elijah, the Lord answers our prayers, not often in the ways that we expect, but he listens to us. He hears the cries of the brokenhearted, and he restores those who are sorrowful. And so Elijah, having prayed to God, having seen how the Lord had provided for him in those two previous instances, came before the Lord once again in prayer and asked that the child be brought back to life. He had faith that the living God could raise this child back to life and restore him to his mother. And in his act of faith, the Lord responded, and the child was healed and restored to his mother once again. And here we see a wonderful example of someone who trusts in the Lord in all situations and in all circumstances in life, knowing that we are not guaranteed to have a rosy life free from trial and tribulation, but that in the midst of our trials and in the midst of our tribulations, in the midst of our sorrow and in the midst of our sadness, the Lord will provide for his people all that they need. And ultimately, this story of a resurrection here in 1 Kings 17 is a foreshadow of that great resurrection where Jesus Christ was raised from death to life and offers to all who trust and believe in him new life in his kingdom forevermore. And that begins here and now in this world, and it will reach its fulfillment in that world to come when Christ comes to take us to be with him. And so resurrection light shines from the pages of Scripture, and resurrection light shines from the faces of those who trust in God, who obey God, who seek to follow God. And God will honour them, and he will grant them eternal life, and they will be in a place where there is no more sorrow or sadness or tears. And that invitation is open to us all. And so this morning, as we reflect upon God's word, as we reflect on our good friend Harry and the tragedy of his sudden death, as we reflect upon the sorrow of his wife and his daughters and his brother and their families, we have a choice. Do we place our hope and our trust in the God revealed in Scripture, in the God who entered our sorrowful world in the form of Jesus Christ and defeated death and sin once and for all and shone his marvellous light on all who trust in him? Trust and pray that you will respond in obedience and faith to the God who has the answer to all our sorrows and all our needs. Let us come before him in prayer. Almighty God, we give you thanks that you do not leave us to our own devices, but that in your love and in your mercy, you sent your Son Jesus to be our Saviour and to offer us eternal life through faith in him. And so, O Lord, we gather here this afternoon, shocked and saddened at the sudden passing of our beloved brother. And we are outraged that his life should end in this way. And our hearts go out to Diana and to Helen and to Joan and to their families. And so we cry to you, O Lord, for help. And we ask, O Lord, that you would respond and that you would bring your comfort and your peace to all who mourn, to all who are shocked, and that in the midst of it all, you would shine your resurrection light, and that you would grant us an assurance of the eternity that you have planned for Harry and for all who follow you. We thank you, Lord, for his faithful witness to this congregation. We thank you for the example he set to so many. And we pray, O Lord, that you would meet each of our needs according to your great mercy. So we take a moment's silence to reflect and to remember. And we bring these, all of our prayers, before the one who is our good shepherd, knowing that you will not leave us in want, but that you will lead us and you will guide us, and that you will walk with us through those valley experiences, and that you will grant us an eternity with you and a wonderful banqueting table where we can rejoice with you and with all those saints who have gone before us. And so we give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. I don't know how we as Presbyterians feel about this, but I really don't want to have the formality of an offering. So if you could just wait a moment, we'll put the plates out in the vestibule, and if you wish to leave it their offering, feel free to do that. But we'll bring this service now to a close as we sing that Psalm 23 to the modern setting. I know we sang it last week, but it's a great comfort to us in these days. So it's hymn 527, "The Lord's My Shepherd."
Knowing that he will meet your every need in Jesus Christ our Lord.